I've been married 33 years, and 33 years, and Teresa has been so patient with me. I am a naturally God-created, intense person, and I can't help that part of me. There are times I don't like it. And probably one of the reasons, one of the many multitude of reasons why I married Teresa, but she is so lighthearted, and I wanted that, and so she's helped me so much over the years. When we were first married, we were on our way to San Luis Obispo, California, where we were to live. We were driving from Albany, and so me, this kind of stressed out person, intense. The only reason I was really stressed out is because I was going to California, and I'd only been there once, and I kind of had it in my head that Californians couldn't be trusted. I had no good reason for this, except for ignorance, and so that's kind of where I was at. And so we're driving my old 72 Toyota Celica. Teresa used to say, like to say that it was painted in rust, which it was. And so it was kind of a junky car. And so we're driving down there, and my car broke down. And it broke down between Dunnigan and Fairfield. You guys know where Dunnigan is? It's right on off of I-5 there, about a third of the way down California. And if you go west, you're going to hit Oakland and San Francisco. So we were in between there in a town called Fairfield, which I think is on 80 or 680, one of those two. And anyway, so we were broke down in between those two cities. Well, it was pouring down rain. So you can imagine me, I don't like unknowns naturally. Okay, I'm just saying naturally. Now, I have so grown, believe me. So we are on the road, side of the road, car broke down, California, where people couldn't be trusted, and pouring down rain. I'm standing next to the car doing this, just thinking, what is happening to me? And Teresa's inside the car laughing her head off at me. And that's the truth. So a car pulls over, and it's a small pickup. And there's a younger guy, maybe 30 years old. His name was Ty. And very nice. And he said, hey, I'll tow you into town. Well, I'm like, whoa. Hey, I go back to Teresa, and I go, look, this guy wants to tow us into town. But I don't trust him. I think he's too nice. It's literally what I said. She said, if a guy wants to tow us into town, let him. I'm like, okay, you're right. So he had some kind of a gizmo. I don't know what it was, if you know what a gizmo is. Is this being, I'm sorry, Yehida, for the interpretation of gizmo, I don't know. But he had some kind of a rope, how about that? And it was... It was only about 5 feet long. So I'm riding behind this guy, pouring down rain. I mean, torrential. And we're on the side of the road, and I don't know him. If he stops, I hit him. So he's going 5 miles an hour, 10, 15, 20, 40, 50 miles an hour. And there's nothing I can do. If he stops at all, I hit him. Bam. I am just going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I just remember that's exactly what I was doing. Never been so stressed out in my life. And somehow we make it to Fairfield like that on the side of the road. And I'm thinking, we have to go through streetlights. So we go through. The first light is green. I'm like, great. green. We don't have to stop, because I don't know what I'm going to do if he decides to stop. I don't know what I'm going to do when he finally decides to stop. So then we went through several lights. Every light was green. We never had to stop at a light. He takes us all the way to a mechanic, and I don't remember how, maybe he waved, like, hey, I'm going to stop. I don't know what he did. Maybe pumped him a little bit, but anyway, we stop at the mechanics. This guy, who we don't know, says, look, you leave your car here, and he talked to the people at the mechanic shop, and we didn't, and he said, look, I'll take you to my apartment. I'm like, oh, man, now what are we in for? And so we go to his apartment. We're riding in his truck, and he gives us coffee and tea. He talks about how he's been to Europe recently and really trusting people. And he goes, I just trust people. And he said, why don't you take my truck? He goes, I'm going to call a hotel for you, and I want you to, and then you can go there, and I'll get one by a mall so you guys can hang out and walk around. And I'm like, I'm not taking your truck. You don't even know me. So he said, okay, well, I'll give you a ride. So he does. He gives us a ride over to the hotel. Teresa and I walk around the mall there. And then the guy comes, Ty, comes and picks us up, takes us to dinner, pays for it, pays for both of our meals. Then after that, he takes us back. And we're just like, who is this guy? I just can't even hardly believe this. And so the next day in the afternoon, we go to pick up our vehicle. He comes and gets us and takes us to our vehicle. The guy tries to charge double what he originally had said. Well, our good friend Ty decides that he's going to talk this guy back down, so he does, back to his original, whatever he originally said. And so I pay the man. It was all the money that we had for our honeymoon, but I pay him in cash. We turn around. Ty is gone. Disappeared. Now, to this day, we don't know if Ty was an angel sent by the Lord or if he was just a guy planted there just that time. That God was going to help us in our time of need when Teresa had an intense, stressed out husband, but brand new husband. But it was an amazing, amazing thing. And the reason I tell this story is because I had no peace through all of these circumstances that went haywire. I had never been so thrust into a situation that I had no control. And I had no peace. I hadn't learned how to relax, first of all. And I hadn't learned the fact that God is our peace. Can you say amen to that? Those of you that know Him, God is our peace. And that's what I want to talk to you about, is peace with God. And if you have recently accepted the Lord, I'm going to talk to you just for a moment. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about what happened in the book of Genesis and what that means so that you're saved and so that now you have peace with God. I want to explain to you what happened to you, okay? So in the book of Genesis, we find that before Adam and Eve, they were the original two, before they, whatever you want to call it, fell from grace, sinned, acted in a way that was in contrary to the holiness of God. Before that, they had free relationship with God. They were close to God, and they were completely dependent on God. And He was the source of everything that they needed, and they lacked for nothing in this world that God put them in. And so that was the original state, okay? But God gave them a free will just like He gives us a free will. And after a time, they sinned. And so there was no longer this closeness with God. Now there's a barrier, which is sin, because God is holy. Okay, so there's this, now there's this separation between God and man. But at the proper time, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross and subsequently rose again, he knocked down this barrier that's between man and God so that now we have relationship with him and now we can live with him forever. Coolest thing ever. It's greater than cool. I don't have a word for it. It's the greatest thing that will or has ever happened to you. Okay? And just a little bit about the blood. I wondered about the blood for years and, well, what does that really mean? But you know, in Leviticus, the word says that life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. That's in Leviticus chapter 17, if you want to look that up later. And we now have free access to God because Jesus was sinless, had no sin. He was the perfect sacrifice, holy, perfect sacrifice. Life is in the blood. And so when Jesus Christ died, then we go from here to here. Now we can have relationship with Jesus. And if you've accepted the Lord recently, that is what happened to you. Okay? And so now you can talk to God and he will communicate back to you. Okay? So that's awesome. You'll need to learn his voice. Usually it's a whisper. He'll speak to you through his word. He'll speak to you through other people. He'll speak in a still, quiet voice. Sometimes he might get a little louder, but it's in his way that he wants to speak to you, and that's a whole other subject, but it's a great thing now. You can communicate with God, okay? Try it out. Try it out. Talk to him. Just talk to him, okay? Now, peace between us and God. Last week, we heard about the resurrection of Christ, and so we're going to look a little further into what happened next following the resurrection, okay? This happened right away. We're going to find out in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to kind of encapsulate the first 35 verses. I'm going to talk you through them quick, and then we'll pick it up at verse 36. Okay, so the three women have claimed to have seen the empty tomb, and there was no body in the tomb, and angels have spoken to them that Jesus had risen from the dead. Number one, the disciples did not believe this report at first, and the Bible says that at first they thought their words were nonsense. Number two, Peter, and in another gospel we find that John also went to the tomb to see for themselves, and Luke records that Peter is wondering what could have happened. He sees the empty tomb. He's wondering, did they take the body? What happened? Okay. So then, number three, Jesus appears to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, infamously known. And they're not among the original 12 apostles, although there is now 11 apostles because Judas has taken his own life. And these two run and tell the apostles they've seen Jesus. Okay. Now, number four, the Lord has appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden. So she tells the disciples this. Number five, verse 34 records that Simon Peter had seen Jesus as well. We're not told any detail about this, but it says, and Simon, he has appeared to Simon, it says. So now the disciples are wondering, what is going on? How can these people have seen Jesus alive? We saw him crucified. Think of someone that you know has passed away, and right away people are saying, I've seen them. Now, of course, Jesus is a little different matter, but they hadn't had that knowledge that he was to raise from the dead. That just wasn't in their thinking at that time, even though he had told them ahead of time. What's going on? How can these people have seen Jesus alive? We saw him crucified. So let's pick it up at verse 36, everybody. Here we go. While they were still talking, about this, Jesus himself stood among them, said to them, "Peace be with you." Everybody say, "Peace be with you." Peace be with you. Oh, that's nice. That's what they say in the Catholic Church. All right, they were startled. They really do. and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And I'm going in and out. I may have to switch. All right. Hello?
We good here? Okay, let's go here. What verse am I at here? What? 45. Okay, here we go. "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.'" So we have a group of frightened, confused disciples. They're afraid of the Jewish leadership because they've just crucified Jesus. They know, the leadership knows that these guys were with Jesus, so they're afraid, and I'd be afraid too. They've got the door locked. So they're afraid and they're confused. These they know Jesus is dead, yet they've got these people coming and saying these crazy things. And Jesus basically, he's got his glorified body, okay? So he has risen, and he basically walks through the walls or is translated. Somehow, he's instantly standing before the disciples because we know the door was locked, and he's standing there. So they're thinking, is this a ghost? Literally, is this a ghost? No, Jesus shows them his hands and feet pierced from the nails on the cross. He's like, "No, I'm not a ghost. It's me." And then he asked for something to eat. And honestly, it was to show them that he was real, not a ghost. So he eats in front of them some fish to say, "Okay, I'm real." And he says, "Peace be with you." And then he says it again, "Peace be with you." Now, peace was coming from Jesus to the disciples. Peace. And he says it twice. You know, "Peace be with you" is a greeting and was a greeting, but he says it twice to say, "Peace be with you." He knows they're afraid. He knows they're confused. So that's what he says. And I want to give you three things quickly. Simple things, but powerful. Number one is true peace only comes from Jesus Christ. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So Jesus shares this with his disciples shortly before he's going to be arrested, tortured, and crucified, and he knows it's coming. And I don't know about you, but if I knew that I was going to be killed in any way, shape, or form, and I knew it was going to happen in the next while, I wouldn't be thinking about everybody else. I'd be thinking, I just want to make sure that I have my faith. I want to make sure that I don't lose my integrity in these next hours. I want to be strong. Well, Jesus takes it the extra mile and doesn't even think about himself. He thinks about others. Jesus has in view your heart. That's what he had at that time. And the peace of your heart and the fearlessness of your heart and the untroubled waters of your heart. He wants his people now to be free from anxiety. Okay, and number two, the peace of Christ is not as the world gives. All right, so Jesus knows that the only kind of heart peace the world can give is peace of mind based on good circumstances. That's what the world is going to give you. That's when it says you're going to be calm. So they're going to say, okay, through health insurance, through retirement accounts, flood protection, bomb shelters, labor-saving devices, whatever it is, the world is going to say, you get these things, then you're going to have peace of mind. And you can get temporary peace of mind that way, yes. That's temporary, okay? And that's what the world gives, temporary peace of mind. But Jesus says in the middle of verse 27, not as the world gives do I give to you. Which means that his peace is not based on your good circumstances. That the world can give some temporary peace of mind. It's given, his peace is given in spite of bad circumstances. And here's how Jesus says it in John 16, 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Say that with me. In this world, you will have trouble. Everybody. In this world, you will have trouble. Wow. You will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. It's his peace. It's not our peace that we can manufacture. In other words, our peace will make no sense to the world, okay? That's why Paul calls in Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Human understanding cannot produce it. Human understanding cannot grasp it. Why? It's because God's peace is not man's peace. It's the same peace that Jesus has with his Father. It's perfect peace, okay? So, Jesus will bring you into the very peace he enjoys with his Father. That's perfect peace, and it only comes from Jesus. Only comes from Jesus. Number three, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah who takes away the sins of the world. And you might say, well, of course, but that's the prerequisite. You won't have that peace until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Through the sacrifice and blood of Jesus, we have peace with God, and peace is available to you right now. Right now. Not only when times are good, not only when circumstances are just right, but also when you are going through the fire. When circumstances are rough, when people come against you, when things aren't going your way, when you're going through financial struggle, when you're going through grief. There is peace to be had. Peace can be yours through Jesus Christ. And if I could have the worship team come up, that would be great. Many of you have heard me share about when my dad passed away a year and a half ago. It was a big deal for me, as you can imagine. Some of you have had that same experience. And it was a rough time. You know, my dad was one of those guys that you knew when he was in the room. And I'm not just saying this. My dad was really like this. He was one of those charismatic kind of people. He was really funny, and he was always laughing. And when he was in the room, he was kind of the center of attention. He was used to it. And that was my dad. You know, my dad was a country singer. He loved country music. He was a Merle Haggard, Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson kind of guy. And he was, he liked... That is kind of a lifestyle, really on how he looked at life, sort of that outlaw country mentality, you know. And that's how he lived. I think he still kind of believed that later in his life. He just got older and wasn't quite so crazy. So because of that, and my dad was Catholic and everything, you can be saved in Catholic, yes. And... But I didn't know if my dad was saved. I really didn't. And I was in the middle of the whole grief thing. And he was in the living room. And he was in hospice. And he had just a few days left. We didn't know that. We thought it was going to be any moment. I was sitting there with my mom at a table. And I was just grieving. I had just been crying my eyes out. how you would do. And it was just so hard to accept. And I was sitting there with my mom, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, just kind of came over me, and he said, "Your dad is mine." And yeah, it was a powerful moment for me. It was peace. It was perfect peace. Was I still grieving? Yeah. Yeah. Was it hard? Yeah. I had that perfect peace. And then just shortly after that, he had been asleep because of the drugs, and he hadn't spoken in quite a while, I think since the day before, and his throat was all dry and everything. But he woke up. He had been asleep, and Teresa said, she just looked at me and she goes, I think now's the time. So I said, okay. So I asked my mom, I said, "Can I pray with Dad about becoming a Christian?" And she said, yes. And my mom's a devout Catholic, and they do it a little differently, but she was all in. And so I led my dad in a prayer of salvation, of course, through many tears was I doing it. And my dad, at the top of his lungs, prayed the sinner's prayer. And suddenly he had his voice. And I mean, it was awesome. So in that time of fire for me, Jesus was standing with me. And I knew that. I know the word. And I'd been a pastor for many years. I know that. But when the Holy Spirit came over me and said, "Your dad is mine," I mean, just that perfect peace came. That perfect peace. And like I said, was it painful? Yeah. Was it difficult? Yeah. But it was a peace that passed all understanding, and the world's not going to understand it. And I have it still today. It's not because I'm anything special, not at all. As I've already shared, I've got lots of faults. I've got lots of natural faults. And but I know Jesus. He's my friend. And he loves me despite all those weaknesses that I have. He walks with me and he stands with me in times of calm and in times of fire. And I just want to say, too, as Savannah was sharing earlier, I was thinking to myself, she was sharing her insecurity. She was sharing what she sees in the mirror, and that other people see certain things, yet she's has experienced insecurities. But she knows Christ, and that makes all the difference. And I thought to myself, what's going to be different from people hearing a message on peace, maybe feeling like, okay, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with the word, and maybe God is touching your heart, but what's going to take you past today? That's what I thought. And I'll tell you what's going to take you past today. I'm not saying you won't have trouble, because Jesus said you'll have trouble. But Jesus is standing with you. And if you decide, you must decide this: I'm going to get to know God. It's as simple as that. I'm going to get to know God. That means talking with him. It's prayer. But that's what you're doing. You're just talking with him and spending time, quiet time with him. Reading your Bible. You're going to hear it from this pulpit all the time, no matter who's up here. It's a simple thing, but you got to decide to do that. And then, if you do that, if you decide, see, Jesus is already with you. If you've accepted Christ, Jesus is standing right at your side, whether you realize it or not. But when you seek his face, then see, it's going to be with you tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and on and on. And the peace of Christ, which surpasses all comprehension, so shall guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's what's going to make a difference in the days to come. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, and I'm going to close with this: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Rest, peace. Are you in a fire? You feel like, you know, fires are seasons. It's not all the time. Sometimes we're in it, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're where it's just getting started. But if you're in that fire today, there's another one that's in that fire with you. Whether you realize it or not, he's with you. And his name is Jesus, and he comes and says what he said to the disciples. He comes and says, "Peace be with you." And he says it again, "Peace be with you." No matter what you're going through,